الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن الكريم والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: البخيل من ذكرت عنده فلم يصل علي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Alhamdulillah, respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, as Mufti Imran reminded us that we have to make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable bounties that we are enjoying. The dunyawi bounties, the worldly bounties, benefits that Allah grants us, as well, and more important, the dini benefits, bounties that Allah ta'ala gives us. Speaking about the plight of the ummah, so recently we were sitting with some of the students. One student, he got injured, he was doing something he's not supposed to do. So he cut his finger, and it was bleeding a lot. He cut it very deep. So he was explaining to us, he said, right through the flesh, it was cut, I could see my bone. So we are finding it difficult to, although we saw his finger bandaged, but we never see the wound. We are finding it difficult just to listen to what he was explaining to us. And then he's explaining how he went to get it stitched up. The floor in the clinic was getting messed. The cleaners were shouting him. So the family at home told us that they heard someone relating their experiences in Palestine, in Gaza, and explaining that one is the people that are passing away, losing their beloved ones, children dying, etc. But those that are alive, how much of difficulty they are going through. So the doctor was explaining that he treats head wounds, neurosurgeon. So he said that in the hospital, many a times we would run out of anesthetics and we would have to operate and do painful surgery without any anesthetics. He explained one person came and we had to amputate both his legs and no anesthetics. And then for afterwards, he said sometimes we don't even have painkillers, or if we have painkillers, it's the wrong type of painkillers. But we have to give it to them. And then that causes other problems, they get ulcers, etc. So much of difficulty the ummah is going through. We have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has kept us with afiyat. In a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi, mu'afan fi jasadihi, indahu qutu yawmihi, فَكَأَنَّمَا حِيزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِرِهَا." أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Person wakes up in the morning, he's got afiyat, wellness, well-being in terms of his body. His life is not in danger. He has enough food just for the day. Nabi alayhi salam said, as if the whole dunya has been gathered for this person. So we were telling the students that so much of difficulty these people are going. And then there was two students from another country. Maybe it's not good to mention the name of the country. So I told them that in your country also there's lots of oppression against the Muslims. Now we don't hear about it so much, but maybe about 9-10 years ago. So I said, is it still like difficult to practice on deen? So they explained, the conditions are still getting worse and worse, dini-wise. Dunyavi-wise, the country has progressed a lot. The country is very advanced. So they explained, the student said that in our area, they've over the maybe 2-3 years now, they've taken all the Qurans out. So in a masjid, you only allowed one Quran. The rest of the Qurans, government takes it away. You're not allowed to keep a Quran in your home. Musalla, any sign of deen, you can't keep. Small masjids, they demolish. Many masjids made shaheed. Big masjids, you're not allowed to have anything that shows it's a masjid. Minara, etc. broken down. You must replace it with other symbols. in school, etc. when Ramadan comes, it's compulsory. You have to eat in order to make sure you're not fasting. The Amir of Tabligh in that country said for about 2-3 years he's been locked up in jail. Peered you can't keep. The other student who was there just recently came to madrasa. He explained he became hafiz by his mother in secret. His mother teaches in secret. So, alhamdulillah, four brothers, they all became hafiz by their mother. He said, my second brother, but the government came to find out, passport confiscated. He is not allowed to take out a passport. So much of difficulty. So I was looking at them and I'm thinking, we read the stories of Russia, etc., 60, 70 years ago. Recently one Jamaat also returned from Kyrgyzstan. They explained, same conditions. But how they preserved deen, they said, we met some ulama. They told us that before the Russian Union, Soviet Union fell, when deen was suppressed in the country, so the ulama, to preserve deen, they would go with the students for long journeys on the train. So the furthest they could go, 6, 7, 8 days train journey, because once you're on the train, you have a sort of, you're away from the eyes of the spies, etc. And in this way, they would impart dars and lessons of hadith and preserve deen. So much of difficulty these people are going through, but they still have the desire for deen. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us abundance of freedom to practice our deen. Alhamdulillah, we're sitting in a majlis, no worry, no concern. We can go to any masjid we want. We want to become a hafiz, we want to keep a beard, we want to wear shar'i libas. Nobody's going to do anything to us. So we have to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these ni'mat. So my respected elders and brothers, the greatest ni'mat, the greatest bounties are the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are raining upon us so much. And from amongst mankind, the greatest bounties are the bounties of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sacrificed so much for us. We know the incidents. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making salah in front of the Kaaba, when he was in sajda, then one leader of the Quraysh came and he took the bachadani, the womb, or the insides of the camel. And that heavy thing, if a person slaughtered a qurbani time with a sheep, it's so heavy. Imagine the camel, cow, how heavy that is. And he threw it on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's head while he was in sajda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam couldn't come up from sajda. Then the beloved daughter of Rasulullah came and crying, and she removed it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then lifted his head up from sajda. On one occasion, one person says, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the morning going to the different, at the time of Hajj, to the different bazaars, different markets that would take place, and telling the people that, قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا Say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, you will be successful. And behind him I saw a man with a shining face. And he was telling the people, don't listen to him, he's mad. Don't listen to him, he's mad. Don't listen to him, he's mad. So I asked, who is this? They said, this is Muhammad. I said, who's the man behind him? They said, that's his uncle, Abu Lahab. My respected elders and brothers, so much of difficulty Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went. 3 years boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib, Shi'ab Abi Talib. Nothing allowed to go in, nothing allowed to come out. Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, explaining the difficulties that they had to undergo in that period. He says, one night I went out to relieve myself, and as the urine, it was dark, as the urine fell, the sound was different from the sound of urine hitting the ground. So I put my hand out, and my hand went on a piece of skin of an animal leather. So he said, I took it, cleaned it in some way, roasted it on a fire, crushed it, made it into a powder and crushed it, and was relished, I ate that. So this is the difficulties that they underwent. So much of difficulty Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent for us. And this is not only in this world, but also on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when everyone will be under so much of parishani and difficulty, and they will be running from side to side. They will go to the different anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Every Nabi will say, nafsi, 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 nafsi. That myself, myself. And finally, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be saying, ummati, ummati, what is the plight of my ummat? What is the plight of my ummat? When on that day when everybody will be resurrected, the sun will be at a mile's length above us, and people will be drowning in their own sweat. They will go to Adam alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. That you see the difficulty people are under, that make shafa'at and intercede to Allah. Each Nabi will give an excuse. This is not my maqam. This is not my duty. This is not what I can do. They will go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, yes, I am for this. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go in front of Allah and intercede. And Allah, he will put his head in sajda. And he will say such praises that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time will be taught. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, irfa' ra'asak, sal tu'ta, washfa' tushafa'. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reckoning to begin. So my respected elders and brothers, all of these great bounties of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he has showered upon us, whatever we have has come through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu mentioned that every Nabi had a special dua, and he used it up in this dunya. But I have kept my dua for my ummah on the day of Qiyamah. So my respected elders and brothers, what great right Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has upon us. To understand this here, once famous story, a person came carrying his own mother for Hajj, making tawaf of the Kaaba. And after he finished, he asked, have I fulfilled the right of my mother? What he was told? He was told, you can't fulfill the haqq that your mother has upon you for that one drop of milk she gave you, for that one ah that she made when she bore you. So how can we fulfill the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his blood that spilt at Uhud, for the difficulties that he went, the fear that he went, the taunting and jeering and mocking that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam underwent. My respected elders and brothers, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us to fulfill this haqq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't fulfill it totally, but to give a gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make shukriya. Many of us have come from far. We come and we'd like to present something, a gift. Imagine if our sheikh tells us, you're coming from, example, Durban, bring that leeches. I like that leeches. We'll be so happy. We bring that leeches, present it. And if later on we hear that Sheikh ate it with relish, he was so happy, he enjoyed it, how happy we'll become. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to send durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explain that this is a token of appreciation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For all of these favors, not once we send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why, my respected elders and brothers, so much of virtue Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and so much of warnings also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned for a person who doesn't recite durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After all of these favors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and really this is not even, we haven't even started to mention it. We don't even know how to explain it. Many of us, we know much more. We listen to it in the bayans, we read in ta'aleem. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu falam yusalli alayya. A stingy person, the worst of stingy persons is the one when I am mentioned that he doesn't send durood upon me. So like how Hazrat says that a person even in winter who doesn't want to give you ice, so stingy, even more stingy than that. Or Hazrat mentions that story always, that there was a old man and woman that were staying together. And this old man, he was like the epitome of stinginess. So his habit was whenever he would go for Isha at night, then the old lady at home, bichara, what she's going to do? She's just reading her namaz, so she don't need the light, so you'd switch off the light. Mustn't waste. So, one day he happened to leave and go to the masjid, he forgot to switch off the light. So halfway to the masjid, he remembered, oh, the light, I forgot to switch it off. So, he came back. He came back, he knocked on the door. So the wife, she said, "Who's there?" He said, "Don't open the door, don't open the door. It's me, I just wanted to tell you that light, please switch off the light." So she is married to him for so many years, she was well trained also. She said, "No, don't worry, I had switched it off. You left, I realized you forgot, so I switched it off." So then she said, "But why you said I mustn't open the door?" So he said, "You know, you're going to open the door, this is extra usage, you're going to wear out the hinges, that much extra." So she said, "Oh, you're such a barakan juice, but what about you walked halfway to the masjid, you came back, now you must walk again that extra half. That amount, you're going to be using your shoes extra, the soles are going to get worn out. What about that? You never think about that." So he said, "No, don't worry, I carried my shoes under my arms, when I get back there, I'll put it on." So such a stingy person, more stingy than that person is one who doesn't send durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, as it says that many times these incidents are mentioned, so we laughed, and later on we'll remember the joke also. But what is the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, let us ask ourselves that how much of durood are we sending on Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Whereas Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked us to send durood upon him. Especially on the day of Jumu'ah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-Jumu'ah." On the day of Jumu'ah, increase in your recitation of durood upon me. So, durood of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, what a great ibadat it is. In the ayah that was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi." And verily, Allah Ta'ala and the malaika of Allah, the angels of Allah, are continuously engaged in the act of sending salah upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Such a great act, such a great ibadat that Allah Ta'ala has said that Allah is also sending salah on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All the malaika of Allah, they are also engaged and busy in sending salah on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thus, siga yusalluna, the form that has been used, is a mudari. It's a mudari siga. So mudari shows istimrar, dawam. And it is a jumla ismiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a jumla ismiya. So it shows to boot that definitely and continuously the malaika and Allah ta'ala all the time are sending salah upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such a great act this is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, invites us that you also engage in this great act of sending salah upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As it explains that Ma Abdul Ghani Fulpuri rahimahullah used to say that this is like a very profitable business. And now you are a young person starting out in life, still wet behind your ears, you don't have any experience in life, but your uncle, he's made it in life, he's very wealthy, he's got a lot of experience. So now as you're starting out, he tells you that, "Come, I help you, I'll show you where you should invest your money, what deals you should do, where you should buy from, etc., etc." So now a person will be at ease, that now, someone to guide me, someone to help me. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us that such a great amal Allah and the malaika are doing. O people of iman, you also engage in this. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And send salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected elders and brothers, then Hazrat explains that the great amal of durood, we know that when we have to, Sahaba radiallahu anhu also asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said that, "O Nabi of Allah, we know how to send salam upon you. In tashahud, assalamu alayka ayyuha nabiyyu. How must we send salat upon you, durood upon you?" So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught sahaba, "Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim." Durood Ibrahim. So this is the most virtuous form of durood. A person, we should try and read this form of durood if we can, at least once or twice a day if we can't read, if we don't have much more time. So Hazrat explains that if we see the different sigas, then everywhere we say, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammad." Oh Allah, you send salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah is telling us that, "Oh people of iman, you send salah." So outwardly it seems like we're not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like your father or your ustad tells you, "Do something." And then you tell them that, "No, you do it." So outwardly it seems that you're not obeying the command. But Hazrat explains, "No, why do we say, 'Oh Allah, you send salah'? Why don't we say, 'I am sending salah, I am sending durood'?" As it explains, the reason is because the maqam of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so great, and it's such a delicate matter that we are saying that, "Oh Allah, me, sinful person, my tongue filled with dirt, how am I going to send salah? How am I going to send durood? Oh Allah, you are worthy of sending this durood. I am requesting you that you send this durood on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So sometimes a person, he wants to do something good, but especially with buzrugs, etc., But we don't understand how to do it. So instead of doing something right, we end up causing more taklif. And to make khidmat of the sheikh sometimes, we don't know how to make khidmat, we end up causing more taklif. For example, now we all came for the jalsa, we came from very far. Now each person feels he wants to be close to the sheikh. After the bayan, when the sheikh is walking out, now everybody wants to hug the sheikh. Sometimes there can be a cause of inconvenience. So how to send durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We say, oh Allah, you send durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once at home, so the family was telling the children, especially the boys, that when you're big, then you're going to look after Ummi. So each one is saying that, I'm going to do this for Ummi, I'm going to do this for Ummi. So this one small son, 4 or 5 years old, he said, Ummi, when I'm big, I'm going to have a very big truck. And I'm going to have lots of sheep. And I'm going to put all the sheep in the back of my truck. And you, I'm going to put you in the middle of the sheep. You can stand in the back of the truck. So, listening to this, I was thinking how Hazrat explained so beautifully. Sometimes we want to do something, in our heart it's something good. But we are unable to do it. So in this way, when we're sending durood on Nabi Sallam, we say, oh Allah, you send durood on Nabi Sallam. And such great virtue for sending durood on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a lengthy sajda, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were concerned that Nabi Sallam is not lifting his head. They thought maybe he passed away. As Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu went, and he saw what is happening. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted up his head from sajda. Then he said, oh Nabi of Allah, you took extra long in sajda. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, Jibreel Alayhi Salam came to me, and he told me that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, whoever will send salah upon you, I will send salah upon him. Whoever will ask Allah to send salah, to send mercies upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will send my mercies upon him. Whoever will send salam upon you, I will send my salam upon him. On one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was very happy, extremely happy. Sahaba asked that, oh Nabi of Allah, why are you so happy? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also explained that an angel came to me and explained that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, whoever will send one durood upon you, I will send 10 mercies upon him. Subhanallah, one mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is enough for all of our needs. One mercy of Allah is so great. All of our worries, parishanis, of dunya, of akhirat, it's enough. 10 mercies, just on sending one durood on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So many great virtues of sending durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The greatest benefit of this is that it will give us a very close connection with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It will strengthen us in our deen. As I mentioned, the story of one youngster in Pakistan that used to work in the airport or in the air force. So he had a life full of sin and every type of vice, every type of evil he had committed. Womanizing, gambling, anything you wanted, you could think of, he had done. But now the time came that something clicked in his heart and he became disgruntled with life and he was looking for a change in his life. He wanted to come back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But how to do it? There's no way back. So he heard the virtues of sending durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah put it in his heart, he started reciting durood in abundance. So one night he had a dream. In his dream he sees that on the far in the distance is a beautiful garden with all types of beautiful vegetation, beautiful trees, flowers, etc., fruits, whatever you want. But in between him and the garden, there's a river full of muck, full of dirt, full of filth, feces, etc. So now he wants to go to the garden, but there's this river, he can't, how is he going to reach there? So finally he just took courage and he said, that garden is so beautiful, I just have to go through all of this muck so I can reach there. So he started wading in the water and with great difficulty going through all of that and going through. Finally he reached the garden. And as soon as he reached into the garden, now he started eating of all the fruits and enjoying the beautiful scents and flowers. And then he looked, he said, now I wonder that river, what was... So he looked back. When he looks back, he sees that the river has completely changed. It's now beautiful, crystal clear water, sparkling and shining. Then he heard a voice telling him that this here is all the benefit of you reciting durood on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your whole life has changed. That was in his dream. He woke up, his life had also changed. Now he was more inclined towards the ibadat of Allah. As it mentions that in their own family, there was one lady many, many years ago. This is like in the 80s, 70s. So at that time, she was already modern thinking. She used to feel that the time for ulama and for these mullahs, this is gone. We need university education, we need professionals, and no scarf, etc. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan, Gangoi rahimahullah, on one of his safars to South Africa, somehow she took bayat. So Hazrat prescribed that you must recite 3,000 times durood daily. That's all. The only wazifa, only zikr we're giving you is this. So she started reciting. In a short period of time, she became a tahajjud guzar. She became one of the most active, Hazrat says, super worker of tabligh. And her grandson explains to us that in their town, she was like the responsible person for the ta'aleem, for masturat jamaats, etc. In her family now, so many of her grandchildren, huffaz, qurra, ulama, all through a barakat of durood sharif. As Sheikh Yunus Jaunpuri rahimahullah, one incident is mentioned about him, that one khalifa of Ma'azakir rahmatullahi alayhi once came to him, and he told him that, Hazrat, I feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very displeased with me. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is very displeased with me. So explain to me and show me how I can make Allah ta'ala happy with me. So Hazrat said that me, I'm a weak person, what do I know? He said, no, you are a great muhaddith, you're teaching hadith for so many years, you have lots of taqwa. You explain to me. So when he insisted, Hazrat said that the only thing that comes to mind is that you do two things. One is, you recite durood on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. And secondly, you search for the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you practice upon it. So even if, for example, you don't have a need to do a certain thing, but when the thought comes, this is sunnah of my Nabi, then do it according to the sunnah, although you don't have a need for it. For example, you're not thirsty, you don't have to drink water. But it comes to mind, this is sunnah of Nabi Sallam to sit and drink. Sit and drink with this in mind, that this is a sunnah of my Nabi. In this way, when you will do this, yeah, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. You follow in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's path, Allah Ta'ala will love you, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. And if you make the one in Medina, Munawwara, happy, Allah Ta'ala will become happy with you. So do these two things. So after 1 month, the person came back and he was extremely happy. He said, Hazrat, now I know that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is happy with me. So Hazrat said that, how do you know? First you said Allah is displeased with you, now you say Allah is happy with you. He said, before my condition was such, there was no desire to perform amal, no desire for namaz, no desire for zikr, tilawat of Quran. But since you have told me and given me this prescription to do these two actions, I started doing it. Now I feel a desire to perform salah. I feel a desire to read, to make zikr, to make tilawat of Quran. And I get enjoyment in it. And to crown it of all, that a few nights ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with a ziyarat and a dream of Rasulul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my respected elders and brothers, our lives will change when we bring durood into our lives. We'll get the closeness to Allah. And we'll get the closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the answers that explained that who are the people who will get the tawfiq to send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One is a person who has love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another is a person who has a soft heart. And Hazrat also explains that for both levels, a person who has love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to express this love, increase in your recitation of durood. Recite durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person who doesn't find that love, he feels that, I don't have that love for Nabi Sallam. Look at other people, they have so much of love. Their life is according to Sunnah. I'm a weak person, I can't do anything. You want to reach and be like them? Start by reciting durood. Recite 10 times durood, increase it, little bit. Allah Ta'ala will make you, that you will also get the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the greatest benefit of durood is to create that ta'alluq with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Besides this, many other benefits. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah, as it also many times used to mention, as the Shaykh used to say that in any difficulty, late on in life, I realize and Allah Ta'ala opened up to me and we realize that the solution to any problem is to recite durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one person in one of the Arab countries, he had some heart problem. So he had to go for operation. So they done big surgery, few hours. And then afterwards when they came to after the surgery, when they were doing the checkup, so he saw the doctors are milling around him. Then they called another doctor, so a whole group of them. So he asked, what's happened? So they said that, you know, the surgery has been done, but unfortunately we see the blockage is still there. So this person, like, he so to say, he lost, oh, now so long operation, and now again they have to do. So a nurse who was there, this nurse told him that, Salli ala Nabi, that's common amongst the Arabs. That's salli ala nabi, send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then naturally it comes onto the tongue, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So then they decided that they're going to do the operation again. But they said, let us just check up again. So the second time they checked up, they came in, they told him, no, it seems that everything is clear. So through the barakat of sending Durun Islam, there's one murid in Azadwan. So some few years ago, he started to encourage people to recite Durud on Nabi Islam. So he used to tell them, recite Durud, and for encouragement, send your amounts, and then we'll, how many Durud you send. So he done this for a short while. Then he asked that any report back, feedback or something, so we can keep it and, encourage people. So people wrote, what amazing stories. One lady wrote, she said that, I stay in a less affluent area. So we receive grants. So we get bread and we get something with the bread, like jam and peanut butter. So she said that ever since I started reciting Durud on Nabi Hassan, I've noticed that the bread and whatever we get to put with the bread, I share it with the other poor people in the area. And before the thing is finished, another loaf of bread comes. Some way or the other, Allah Ta'ala makes intizam. Another person wrote that I'm over 60 years old and now my children, I've sent them off in life, but my business took a very bad knock. And to start again, at such an age, it's so difficult. So different zikrs I was prescribed, but I couldn't have istiqamat and recite anything continuously. So when I heard about Durud Sharif, I started reciting Durud Sharif. So after reciting Durud Sharif, I made it a quota that every week I will recite 10,000 times Durud. So the person says that in a short while, what happened, my children, they came and they told me they want me to retire. They want to take care of all my finances. And Allah Ta'ala made such intizam that now I'm more free in life. I have much more time to devote to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to devote to ibadah. So through the recitation of Durud Sharif, there was one student, his ustad, his ustad gave him one amal to make on a night of Jummah, that you'll see Nabi Sassam in a dream. So these amals, there are many amals like that. We can do it also. But our mashayikh generally say that to see Nabi Sassam in a dream is not in your ikhtiyar, it's not in your choice. But to recite Durud on Nabi Sallam, this is in your choice. So recite abundance of Durud. If Allah has made it muqaddar, and Allah Ta'ala wants to favor you, you'll get there. So the student, he said, I used to recite Durud on Friday night, on the night of Jummah. And then he says that after a few weeks, I saw a dream, but I never seen Nabi Sallam. I saw the grave of Rasulullah Sallam. But in that year, Allah Ta'ala took me for Hajj. Allah Ta'ala took me multiple times for Umrah. Then he also comes from one of these countries where they have lots of difficulties. So his father's passport was like confiscated and very difficult. He told his father and them also of the benefit of reciting Durud. Allah Ta'ala made intizam, his father's work also got sorted out. So Durud Sharif, our dunya also will be made through Durud Sharif. One sahabi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and complained of poverty. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that when you enter your home, make salam and send salam upon me. Make salam to the inhabitants of the home. If there's no one there, then too make salam. And send salam upon me. That is like recite Durud on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And recite Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad once. So the Sahabi, after a few days, he came and he reported back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said that, O Nabi of Allah, now I have seen that before I was finding difficulty in my life, in my livelihood, but Allah Ta'ala has opened up so much that now I'm able to even look after the needs of my neighbors and others around me. So these are the fringe benefits of Durud Sharif. The asal reason we should recite it is because it's a command of Allah. It's a desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to fulfill the rights of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to get the closeness to Allah, to get the closeness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what that all of these other fringe benefits will also come. And my respected elders and brothers, as it always explains, that no amount of durud is too little or no amount of durud is too much. If a person isn't reciting durud, then start. Make a firm intention that no day of my life will go when I will not send durud on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For that, as it explains, that you have to fix the time. When are you going to send durud on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For such an insignificant act like cleaning your mouth, you have a time for it. If, when I wake up, before I go toilet, or after I go toilet, or before breakfast, or after breakfast, it's fixed. Your time when you clean your mouth is fixed. But a great act like sending durud, if you don't have a time, how are you going to make amal upon it? So Hazrat always explains that when you're sitting in any majlis, you hear the importance of this great act of sending durud, make a niyat and fix the time. When am I going to send durud? When I sit in my car to go to work, or before Fajr, or after Fajr, or at night before I sleep, fix the time, make a niyat, and make dua to Allah, and in that time you send durud on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So no amount is too little. If you're not reciting durud, let us start 10 times morning, 10 times evening. How long will it take? Few seconds. As it explains that if a person takes out 2 minutes, 2 minutes from 24 hours in a day, if you take out 2 minutes, then with ease you can say sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times with ease, without hurrying. Very easy, a person will be able to say 100 times. And what is the benefit of sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times daily? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill 70 needs of yours of the akhirat and 30 needs of yours of this dunya. Akhirat needs which are much more important, Allah will fulfill it. And your small needs of this dunya, Allah will see to them also. 100 times durood. And a person can increase. If a person wants to be of those who are on the higher level, 300 times. As Imam Rashid Ahmad Gangohi used to say, that the lowest level of kathrat, of a lot, abundance, is that 300 times a person recites durood on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. More than that, 1,000 times. MashaAllah, there are many people that are reciting durood in the thousands. As it also explains of one boy, that young boy, his practice was 3,000 times daily, he used to send durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as it explains, it's not difficult. That all the time we waste in speaking of things that are, don't concern us at all, just cut that out and send durood in that time. Without you sitting in the masjid with the tasbih, etc., taking out the time. Just cut out your useless talk and see how much of durood you can send. One person who passed away in Medina Munawara a few years ago from our town. So his son explained, last year he passed away, his son explained his father's ma'mool was 10,000 times daily he used to send durood on Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no amount is too little, no amount is too less. Let us make a niyat to send durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make it a part of our life and get all of these great benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself, grant all of us the tawfiq to make amal and bring this alive in our lives and bring it alive in the whole ummah until the day of qiyamah. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزُ. We'll all make intention inshaAllah.